Alright, alright, alright. It's that time again. Friday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And the place to be is right here. And that's the No Chaser. I am JT, the co-host of this show. And as always, the man with the plan, the man that is No Chaser, Mr. Mac Williams is the host. Here he is.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Hope y'all had a great weekend. I certainly did. God moved in mysterious ways and did some wonderful things this week for me. I'm in the process, but everybody will end up seeing the results sooner or later. But welcome to everybody. Hope you guys all had a great week. Let you know that No Chaser is brought to you by Trinity Web Solutions. Trinity Web Solutions has websites. We have email, we have calendars, we have email functions that work like Constant Contact. Get on over to trinitywebsolutions.org and check our products out and services. Open up an account. You'll be glad you did. Today, Friday, January 24th, I have, we've been running, we had a lot of guests, man, a lot, great guests. This guy here is my main man, my main Apple Scrapple. I had the young guy come up and coming ball player. Had to get after him a couple years ago, doing some things he shouldn't have been doing. I just had to be blunt with him. But since then, he has gotten himself together, done so many things, accomplished. I'm really proud of him. And so I'd like to welcome the No Chaser, Mr. Christian Boo Jackson. What's up, Christian?
Hey, how you doing, man?
That's like my second or third time calling you Christian, because I always call you Boo anyway. So I'm going to go back to Boo, because Christian, it's like me calling, it's like people calling me by my whole name. I'm like, nah, I don't want to call that. So, Boo, I just wanted to ask you, first and foremost, man, you know, welcome to the show, man, No Chaser.
Thanks for having me.
And, I love having you, man. I've been trying to get you on this show for a long time. You, I got Corey and Shaq. You know, Shaq's been on here a couple of times. Corey I've never had before. You guys I've never had before. I've never gotten a chance to get you here. But for those who don't know Boo Jackson, tell the audience where you're from and where'd you grow up. And let's expound on that, and then we'll go from there.
Oh, well, I grew up in Alexandria, Virginia. That's where I'm from. That's where my mother's from. My father's from D.C. I went to Carroll High School. Yeah, I went there for 3 years. And then I transferred to Suitland Senior High School, where I finished up at.
Okay. All right. You gone to college, or I know you went to college. Tell everybody, you know, where your alma mater is.
I graduated from Frostburg State University, and I went to four other institutions. I went to Manhattan right out of school. Then I went to Bowie State. I took 2 years off from school, and then I came back and went to PG for a semester. Then I went to Emporia State in Kansas, and then I finished up at Frostburg State University and got my bachelor's degree in Parks and Recreation Management.
What, you gonna run some parks and recreation? Lord help us, Jesus! This man, I know you ain't gonna do no baseball, no football, nothing. You'll find Boo Jackson either in the gym or on the outdoor court. Shooting some kids. Let me ask you. Just so people know, the route you took with being at multiple institutions, was that basketball related? Was that just from basketball, just going to different places and playing, or what was that?
What happened was, in life there's no perfect situation. And what I found myself doing, it was I was looking for a perfect situation. I was looking for somebody, just anywhere that was going to allow me to do things my way. And, it doesn't work out that way, especially when it comes to, college
right.
basketball. I had the opportunity to play Division I college basketball, so things work a little differently. You know, you're going to have to listen to somebody, And, you know, I just had to, you know, I had to experience some humbling situations, you know, to a point where, you know, I found out that, you know, it's best that I just, you know, listen to my coaches and, you know, listen to the people that was trying to steer me in the right direction instead of running from school to school. So, you know, part of me going to, you know, part of the reason why I was going to, you know, so many schools was definitely basketball related, but a lot of it was just, you know, self-inflicted. A lot of it was things that could have been, you know, avoided, but, you know, because of my selfish attitude, you know, it allowed me to, you know, go down a path which I think at this point it just made me stronger, so.
Well, that's great. Yeah. So should I sum it up as maturity?
Yeah, that's a big thing, and I'm still learning each and every day, you know, just trying to become a better me. I still, you know, struggle day to day just like anybody else. But what I just try to do is I try to do more good than I do bad. You know, not saying that, you know, for every 9 bad things I do, I have to do 10 good things. It's just that, you know, throughout my daily life, I just try to do more good than bad. That's all I think you can ask of a person.
That's all you can do. That's all you can do is try to do your best, man. We're not people who are perfect, so, you know, to think that is would be impossible. What are you up to? Let's go fast forward. Let's go into a few years ago. You know, me and you met, and I saw you play down at the Goodman. Now, for those who don't know what the Goodman is, because our listeners that are not in the area or not around, describe what the Goodman is to you. If a person was to come down to Goodman, what they going to see? What's the atmosphere like? What are they going to feel? What is it to you?
The Goodman League is unquestionably the best outdoor basketball league in the country, and that's just not my opinion. I mean, you know, you have the likes of, you know, Kevin Durant, our own, you know, Michael Beasley, you know, you have Ty Lawson. Then you have guys like, you know, I remember a few years back, what's the guy name? I can't think of his name, but he wouldn't play. Monte Ellis, he came down there and he didn't want to play. You know, and you remember, Matt. And, you know, guys was like, yeah, we got shoes. He said he didn't have no shoes. And, you know, we was like, yeah, we got shoes for you and stuff like that. And he didn't want to play. The Goodman right. League is not a league. While the league is for everybody, everybody is welcome right. to come down to the Goodman League at any time. I've been playing there for almost 10 years now, since I was like 17, 18 years old, and never once have I seen any altercation or anything going on down there at the Goodman League, and it's in one of the worst sections in D.C. So that
wow.
you know that just speaks volumes, you know, about the league and the crowd control and things like that, about the atmosphere down there. But far as the play, guys coming down there to play, you have NBA guys overseas. Local guys. I mean, you have to bring your game when you come down there to the farm. You know, our commissioner Miles, he's on the mic, and you just, you know, I can remember when I first played down there, he used to call me Hasim Rahman. You know, he didn't even know who I was or whatever, and I had like 36, 38 points, and you know, ever since then it was Ray Lewis. You know,
yeah,
I mean.
That's right. He calls me Ray Lewis. That's his official nickname. Every time he comes down, it's Ray Lewis. Ray Lewis. It's Ray Lewis or it's Ray Lewis Boo.
It's Ray Lewis or Ray Lewis Boo.
Ray Lewis or Ray Lewis Boo going to the basket. Ray Lewis on the round. I'm like, man, y'all, wow. Yeah, Miles has named a lot of people. He's given a lot of people nicknames that straight stuck with him, man. Like, straight stuck with him. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what my favorite is yet because remember Shaq got about 5 different teammates.
Oh yeah, the destroyer. You know,
Shaq the destroyer. Can't remember all the names he gave that man. I'd be like, man, this is crazy. But yeah, you know, the best way I describe the Goodman is I tell everybody it's like a family reunion every night. That's probably the
yeah,
best family. It's like a family basketball game at a family reunion every night. That's almost what it's like. That's the best way to put it, because you got food, you got people there, you know, families there, people there. It's just, you got the barbecue in the air, you got that Colorado stuff in the air, it's just, everybody's just chilled. It's really nice, you know. And like I said, I tell people all the time, I said, look, if you got Obama's cabinet man, his secretary of education down there, we got a team down there playing, come on, man, if it was like that, you definitely wouldn't have a man like that down there playing. Arnie Duncan right. down there playing. So, you know, it's a great place. Next question I want to ask you is, what's upcoming with you? What are you up to now? I mean, I know you've been a lot of places and been moving a lot based on your Facebook page. It seems like every time right. I turn around, you're somewhere else in some different picture. You know, tell everybody, where you at right now.
Right now I'm at the gym. Back in Alexandria, and I'm about to, you know, get a short light workout in. Probably just get some shots up. During the day, pretty much I work out at Crystal City Sports and Health with my, you know, in the mornings and afternoons with my trainer and things like that. But other than that, man, I try to travel as much as I can. I've been going to a lot of, you know, workouts and, you know, different opportunities and things like that. Just trying to get a job. You know, my number one thing is just being able to be self-sufficient. Self-sufficiency is the only thing, you know, not being self-sufficient is the only thing that scares me pretty much in life. So I've just been able to take care of myself. You know, not so much being able to take care of family, just being able to take care of myself, you know, taking care of family and things like that. That'll come. But just not being able to take care of yourself as an able man, you know what I'm saying? That's just the one thing that I worry about. So, you know, I'm kind of in limbo. You know, I don't have college. You know, I'm out of school right now, so I don't have like the college. You know, when you're in college, they give you that's a 7-day-a-week thing. You know, you're away from home. You got classes. You got study halls. You got practice 6 days a week. You know, I don't have that no more. You know, a lot of people, they complain when they're in college, and then it's like when it's over, you know, it's over. You know, that, you know, you're talking 20 hours a week of basketball practice and then all of the classes. I don't even know how many hours a week you go to class, but all your classes, once you graduate, that is, you no longer have that time. So what comes next, it becomes work. You know, work. I work with kids at a Patrick Henry Recreation Center, and I work there, you know, sometimes in the evening. And, you know, like I said, I'm kind of in limbo where I don't have a full-time, you know, job. You know, but I'm waiting to go overseas, which, you know, saying that will then become my job. So it's just like it gets very frustrating. You know, a lot of times I just try to travel as much as I can and go to all these little different opportunities and, you know, different business ventures just to stay busy, you know, just to stay moving, stay productive instead of, you know, sitting at home and being counterproductive, you know. So
I got a question there. I got a question, Mac. So you have two guys, I guess, Enrico and Mario McCleary, who are your agent rep. Am I right about that?
Yes, sir.
And I imagine, you tell me, or tell us, I should say, or tell the people listening, how much have they helped you in making progress through your life in basketball and in life?
More so life than anything. You know, I had a pleasure to go to school with Enrico. We went to Carroll High School together, and, you know, he went on to, go to law school and things like that, and bar in D.C. and Maryland and things like that. A great guy, you know, high character guy. Mario, too, is his brother. Both of those guys, they're constantly on me. We talk basketball very little. It's always about, you know, getting, you know, my life in order and priorities straight and things like that. You know, they never make me feel uncomfortable. They never talk down on me. They just always suggest, you know, always having, you know, fresh ideas and, you know, just fresh thoughts and try to change my ways of thinking. Like, their whole thing is they want to get me more mentally tough, you know, and, you know, just try to prepare me. Just, you know, that's another thing. Just they help me with is, you know, just preparing me mentally, you know. The basketball. I mean, the basketball side of things. I mean, Rico just got back from South Beijing. He was in Beijing and he went over there to take care of some things and you know to give me this opportunity and I appreciate him for that. You know, I didn't even make the trip with him. I was going to go, but you know, we just decided for me to you know stay here and you know while he go handle business and it turned out great and that's how I got this opportunity to you know play in the NBL and like when I went to Vegas they took care of that as far as you know my supplements and getting me a trainer they take care of that and you know all the trips and things like that I go on they take care of that you know Dr. Mack they make sure I see Dr. Mack and to take care of holistic health and make sure I go through all the alignments and all of the things that you know, that the resources that I didn't immediately have, they give to me. And that's day-to-day, and I really, really, honestly, truthfully appreciate them for that.
That's great. I mean, that's a great thing when you have people that you can trust in that are looking out for your best interest. I find that agents who, I don't know a lot of agents, but the few I know are the ones that, I've been a general manager, ran restaurants and things like that. But I find that if you take care of your people, if you take care of the people and concern yourself with them, everything else will fall into place. So
right.
I say that to say if they help you because it's just you, if they help you to be the best you can be and help you get through the journey, the money and everything else will take care of it. All that stuff will take care of itself. But, you know, there are a lot of people out here who don't believe that. They believe in, well, you know, all I care about is, you know, what can a guy do for me? Can he give me this or can he give me that? And I'm like, if you take care of the people, you'll get it. You know, all that will come as a result. So I guess what I wanted to also ask you, one of the things I did want to ask you is, who is the toughest person to deal with on the basketball court? Who is the person that, when you play against them, let's just separate it. I would say if you were at the Goodman, who's the person, and I'm not saying fear nobody because most of y'all down here fear nobody. We would never know if you never say it. But who is it that is your toughest competition? Like when you get on the floor, you go like, okay, I got to up my game. I really got to up my game when I play against this particular person. Who would that person be for you?
Well, it's always been, always, since I was a little boy, since I was about 17 years old, it's always been you, Baby Shaq Jones. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, from a physical standpoint, I mean, Shaq, my big brother. We play the same, you know, we play the same position. We, you know, games are similar. He added on the three ball now. You know, he doesn't get to the basket. While he still can get to the basket, he don't get to the basket as easy as he once did. He's going to kill me for saying this. But, you know,
exactly. But you know he's going to hear about it. He's going to be like, boo?
No question. And we play against them this weekend too. We play against them on Saturday at Wilson High School. So I don't know why I'm adding fuel to the fire now, but I'm gonna go ahead and say what I have to say.
I'm gonna be there tomorrow. Trust me, I'm going to make it tomorrow. I'm going to make it to that game tomorrow. Live broadcast.
Yeah, man.
You know how Zach is. He's the only person I know. He takes everything you say like really.
Look. Oh yeah. Oh no question. Oh yeah. No question, man. No question.
Yeah.
Yeah, just from a physical standpoint, he he's wide, you know, he's strong, he jumps high, so that creates a challenge for anybody. I watch him post big men, little guy, you know, big guards, small guards. I mean, he is the two-time, you know, Red Bull King of the Rock champion, one-on-one. That's the best one-on-one player in the world. You know, so, I mean, it's just like, I mean, when it comes to that, when I have to guard, you know, Baby Shaq, I'm like, I mean,
I know where he's going, and I know how long he's going there for. And, you know, he's gonna go there and chill. So it's just like, you know. And then defensively,
you ain't gonna, like you try to slow him down, but you ain't going. But you very rarely stop him and shut him down.
Nah, you shut him down. You know, I done seen Shaq have some battles. Me and Shaq done had battles. I done seen him have some battles, especially with, you know, SpongeBob and just a lot of guys that, you know, come through there. But I just, it's just so hard to wear a guy like that down. Like, it's just no wearing him down. Just he's built like a linebacker, but moves around like, you know, like he's a guard. Like, he can dribble the ball. I mean, now, like I say, he can shoot the ball he's shooting the ball 30 feet out. He got this 3-point shot going for him. I mean, he ain't missing. So, you know, I would say baby Shaq. And then just recently, the Hawk, David Hawkins, got a You know, I ran into a little situation this summer where, you know, we had played against the Drew All-Stars, and they went on to win a Goodman this year. Hats off to them, All-Stars. You know, that's my organization, man. You know, but I went and played. I played with Hobo this summer, and I don't regret it. We had a great summer, and I felt as though we was going to win, you know, the championship.
Y'all had a team. I'll be honest with you. I was shocked y'all didn't win. And I'll be honest with you, you guys had – y'all not only had a great starting five, y'all had a nice bench. I was shocked. I was really shocked that y'all did lose.
Yes. So, man, the hustle, yeah, you know, we had this game, you know, with the Drew All-Stars, and I called David. I guess, you know, to make a long story short, you know, I called David Hawkins out. Dave, remember me? Since I was a little boy, you know, he's a Caroline, you know, went to Carroll High School. And I remember when I played with Carroll, Coach Holmes used to always say, you'll never be a David Hawkins. Like, he used to always constantly tell me that because I was the first freshman in the school's history or in Coach Holmes' 23-year tenure to play varsity flat out, no JV or anything. And he used to just, you know, he always is just, it's like he kind of like, I mean, he's just always just tell me, like, people say you're going to be like David Hawkins. You're the next David Hawkins. You will never be David Hawkins. So, like, he used to just always tell me that. So, you know, I used to always see Dave, it was always love, but I used to always, like, you know, it's going to be a point in time where I'll get to play Dave, and I've done went through the ranks and things like that, and we'll meet, and you know, we'll have our day. So on this particular day, I just happened to, you know, we played earlier that day. I played with Jordan there, but we played over in the Deanwood League. So D Nice playing on my team, D Nice and Dave, they best friends. So I say, D Nice, you know, tell Dave he better be there. You know, you better be there tonight because we're going to win by 20 like we've been doing all summer. So D Nice say, for real, boo? I'm like, yeah, you know, half part of me thinking Dave not going to show up anyway because, you know. So I'm like, yeah, so make sure he be there. But I'm not necessarily worried if he do show up. If he do show up, that's even better. So I get to the farms, man, and, you know, we the game about to start. And I hear Miles say, when the Hawk shows up early, you know he means business. you know what I'm saying? So I'm looking around, and I'm like, oh, Lord, Dave coming. He coming walking off fast with a towel over his head. And you know what I'm saying? Then he gets on the mic. He say, Ray Lewis Booth told D Nice early to make sure that the Hawk showed up. So I called him myself and told him to make sure that, you know, to make sure that he be here. And if he don't come down here no more. So, you know, the game starts. And I mean, right from the jump, you know, I mean, he's sprinting in the layup line. He's sprinting to half court. You know, he comes, give me a love tap. Like, you know, I'm out here. Like, I'm like, oh, what I done got myself into? You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
You know, so the game, man, so, you know, the game is going on. I mean, and I'm like, Lord, you know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, we going back and forth. So we going by like 17 points. And I start talking like, Drew, did I tell you? Man, before I knew it, Dave came out and hit like three or four threes in a row. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know what I'm saying, cut the score, you know, cut the score in half, then they go on to take the lead, man, and ultimately go on to win the game. But I learned a lesson, you know. He finished the game, I think, with 50 points that game, and I had 37. And that was just a nice, you know, he gave me a nice piece of humble pie, man. And, you know, not that I won't call him out again or I won't call a guy out again, but, you know, that was just one of those things where it just let me know how far I came and how far I have to go. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Just as far as the physical standpoint, because him and Baby Shaq are probably the two most physical guys I played against down there. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, you got a lot of other guys.
Yeah, but that's why I said I just wanted to know the ones that when you – yeah, but that's why I specified it by saying, I mean, I know you play anybody against anybody, but it's like who's that guy that really starts you to thinking, you know, when they on the court, it's like, okay, I got to up my game. It can't be just regular Ray Lewis boo. It's got to be, you know, got to be what that's going to raise it up.
Oh, and one more guy. I have to say it. Jamal Glenn. If you don't, you know, I know he's not a, you know, people may say, you know, who is they? I know it's not, you know, we call him Maul, you know what I'm saying? M-A-R-L, you know what I'm saying? And he was Defensive Player of the Year a couple years ago down there at the Goodman. He'll guard anybody. He'll guard, I mean, he's probably him and Jamaica Rob Arns and Dale Ojo, can't forget Ojo, are probably the three best defenders in the league, hands down. They can guard anybody, any position, you know what I'm saying, those three guys. Defensively, I mean, Maul probably guards me tougher than anybody that I played out here. You know what I'm saying? So,
right.
I mean, Jamaican Rob played on my team, and Dale Ojo, I don't think I played that game. I don't remember. We played against him this year, but he didn't necessarily guard me much. But Jamal Glenn guards me in every single league. When he's not playing with Drew Ostad, he guards me in every league, and he makes it hard for me. You know what I'm saying?
But most competitors, people who are competitors, they relish that. Even when you call somebody out, you know, inside you may be like, man, what did I have done? But then you're like, you know what? It's time to test and see where I am. And, you know, that's always a good thing. Let me ask you, what is one of the things that you have learned, what's the number one thing you would say that's gotten you to this point, gotten you to be successful? Because I consider you a success. Because you graduated college, you've used basketball to get your education, you've come so far, even from a couple years ago when I had to get on you, you've come so far and finished so much. What is the one thing, what is it that the one thing that you did different, or what is the one thing that pushed you to be where you are today?
I had to humble myself. I know that's easier than said. I know people, you know, everybody like to say you have to humble yourself. I wouldn't even say that I humbled myself. I would say that a lot of situation and things that I went through and life experiences humbled me.
Mm-hmm.
So if you understand what I'm saying, like,
I know what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, I went through a lot of things that I didn't have to go through. Or maybe I did have to go through. You know what I'm saying? It's just like
Let me say it to you this way. Are you saying I would say it this way. I would just put it down as simply.
Hello?
Yes.
Oh. Don't tell me you lost Mac. Mac, you there? Mac, are you there? Mac, when you say you had to humble yourself, talk to me about that.
It was a point in time where, you know, the main thing was to always be in the limelight. Not so much verbally, not so much saying, you know, what it is that I do, but just, you know, being at all the functions, being at all the parties, you know, talking to all the girls and, you know, just having that being at the forefront of my priorities. You know, like those things were things that I valued most. Like, you know, making sure that I was, you know, fresh, making sure that I was at the party. You know, not so much that I was a, you know, I've never been like a, like how you want to say, like, far as like verbally, you know, just so much, just being there, just being around, being having to be at the, you know, at all the functions, you know, like hanging in all the spots where, you know, you shouldn't necessarily. Where I know they're bad for you, where I shouldn't necessarily be hanging at, hanging around the wrong crowds, knowing that they're going to bring trouble to myself, and knowing that I want no part of that, still choosing to do it, going against my mother's word, you know, so. Just things, you know, things like that. Like, you know, that's just some of, you know, the things that I chose to do. I didn't have to do them. It's just things that I wanted to do. Like, you know, I just had to be. It's like I couldn't just be the, you know, Christian or the Bujax, the, you know, the guy whose plan was always to just, you know, go to college, you know, get my degree, play some basketball professionally. You know, potentially may have an opportunity to play professionally once I finish school. That was always a plan, not to go to 5 schools in 4 states and have 20 girlfriends at one time and smoke, you know, be doing this and, you know, hanging this place and hanging that place. Like, you know, that wasn't always a plan, always having an answer for everything. That wasn't the plan. Like, so I had to get back closer to the plan, you know, that, you know, the plan that my mother had for me. You know, that I had for myself, which was, you know, to finish school and stuff like that. That's why it was so important for me to get back into school, and just I just used basketball to do it, you know, just to get back in school to get a scholarship. You know, so
that type of life can be addictive, and it's hard to break that pattern. What came along to actually break that pattern and put you on the right path and get you focused on what you really wanted to do?
My mother, you know, just a lot of times, you know, people they don't have that support system. The one thing that I can't, say is that I never had a support system from friends, family, acquaintances. People always supported me in everything I did, and like, you know, just having that support system. Like I said, my mother, is one of the strongest individuals that I know. Like, she's always constantly telling me, like, she never tells me what I want to hear. You know what I'm saying? It's like she's going to tell me what I need to know and what I need to hear. Like, you know, it's like my mom, she's a hands-on mom. Like, and it's not, I never had a, you know, when I say hands-on, like, I mean, I never had a curfew growing up or I mean, my mom never had a leash on me. She just always directed me and steered me in the right direction. So I wouldn't have to, you know, go along the path as her brothers did. Like, my mom has, you know, she's the oldest. She has 4 brothers, and, you know, 3 of them went to prison, and, you know, one. You know, he got into a little trouble in and out of, you know, this place and that place. And, I mean, she just was like, boo-boo, you can see it. You know, you have my brothers to look at and see that that's not the route that you want to go. But you still choose to go down that route. Like, when I'm telling you that, it's not going to pan out for you. Like, it's not going to turn out good for you. You know, but you want to go ahead. You want to go on and, you know, continue to do the things that you're doing. You know, and break my heart and breaking her heart in the process, and I did just that. I continued to do those things, and it got me into, you know, it just took me down a path where it was a point in time where I was like, man, is this really it? You know, I was 280 pounds. I was, you know, drinking every day and hanging out every day. It was no such thing as school. I was playing basketball just because basketball was so available to me. Everybody wanted me to play basketball. You know what I'm saying? So like, whether it was men's leagues or semi-pro leagues, I mean, basketball was always available to me because that was something that I was always good at. So Like, I mean, I knew I could always get a game in, so that wasn't an issue. But, you know, just that time, that point in my life, it just was a very, very, you know, tough time. And I'm glad that I had my mom there to help me kind of overcome that tough time in my life.
And I think we have Mac back.
Yeah, I'm here. So, hey, y'all already know. All my listeners know it's live radio, man. Anytime something go off and go down. So, anyway, but Pooh, I wanted to ask you, can you check for those players, for those people who are listening? Because I know I told you I'm gonna eventually give you this link to be posted. But for those teams out there who are listening, tell me what a typical workout is for you. Walking in the gym, what's the typical workout? I want kids to know what it takes to be good at this game. Like, what I mean by that is, how many jumpers do you take? How long do you spend on this? Or what is a typical workout for you?
Okay, well, a typical workout for me is, when I walk into the gym, the first thing I do is I do 15 minutes in a sauna, and then I do 15 minutes in a steam shower. And basically, that's just to warm my body up, but at the same time, you know, to kind of get a good, you know, get a good sweat going for myself.
Right.
Then after that, I cool down, and then I go into the weight room. When I go into the weight room, everything is super static, so you're doing maximum reps and things like that. So, you know, if it's upper body, it's never a day where I'm doing upper body and lower body. So on Monday, I may do upper body. I may do, you know, shoulders and arms. And then Tuesday, I may do, you know, legs, calves, or whatever like that. So on Monday, I may do, you know, like, shoulder press and bench press,
right,
and squats and things like that to kind of help my core. And then, you know, on Tuesday, I may do, like, leg presses and, like, I might get on the stair climber and work on the elliptical and things like that, you know. But that's as far as, you know, it could vary throughout the week, you know, just whatever exercises my trainer has for me. I just, you know, go at, I just follow whatever he has for me as such. So, you know, there's different, there's a plethora of exercises, you know. So he'll just have a workout plan for me. So that's 15 minutes in the sauna, 15 minutes in the steam shower, weight room for about 30 minutes, then I go into the gym. When I go into the gym, everything is, you know, we get into a lot of, my thing is I have very heavy legs. So you know, we're trying to get my legs loose so I can be able to, you know, if you ever see John Wall, Russell Westbrook, those guards, they're the same height as me, but those guys, and they're lighter than me, but at the same token, those guys are, they have light legs. They have a great core, so they're trying to get my core right and get my legs a little lighter so I can get up and down that floor. So we go into a drill where I dribble up, sprint up, like the whole court. I dribble up and dribble back. When I dribble back, I have to make a move. So he may go right and I have to make a move, or he may go left, or he may step up, or he may drop off. I have to make a basketball move, you know what I'm saying? And for every shot that I miss, I have to do 20 push-ups. So what we do is, what happens is, Mac, is a more mental drill than anything, because when you're coming out of that weight room, your arms, you can't shoot the ball.
Right.
So what I always tell him is, Demetrius, I'd rather just do the push-ups because I know I can't make the shot because my arms are too tight. And that goes back to what Enrico and Mario were talking about when they're saying that my whole thing is just being mentally tough. I shouldn't feel my arms. It never should be, I can't.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? So they're saying that, like, we understand that your arms are tight. We understand that you can't feel your arms and you can barely raise your arms over your head to shoot the ball. But what's going to happen in the fourth quarter when your team needed you to shoot the ball 50 times and your arms is heavy and they need for you to hit that game-winning shot? Are you going to go to the bench and say, Coach, I can't take this game-winning shot because I've been shooting the ball all game and my arms are tired. They're going to send you home. You understand what I'm saying? So
yeah, not the
boot that. Go ahead.
I was gonna say not the boot that I know would do that.
Right. Right.
So when you do this, so this workout, so how long does your workouts last?
Like an hour and 15, an hour and a half.
Wow. And then you're out of there. And how many times a day do you do a workout? Do you have a workout?
Twice.
Now that you have a lot of time.
Now that I have a lot of time, twice, because I go in the morning and I go in the evening.
Okay. Okay. And now tell everybody, I don't know if you really said it, but where you're getting ready to leave.
I
go out of the country and tell everybody what you're about to do and why, you know.
Yes. Well, I leave on, I guess everybody will be trying to find this out at the same time. I leave February the 10th, and I'll be headed to Beijing to enter in the NBL draft. That's the National Basketball League over there in South Beijing in China. And I'll be there. I can ultimately be there from February to September. The season is from May to September, but the draft is in February. So the process goes, I'll leave on the 10th. I'll train for about 2 or 3 weeks or 2 weeks or whatever have you and try to get drafted as high as possible. If I don't get drafted, there's some other leagues and some other opportunities in China where I can stay there and possibly, you know, get on another team or anything like that. But if I make the team, then I'll be playing there from May to September. So I won't be home this summer. It's a 5-month season. And I'm excited and look forward to the opportunity.
Well, 3 days after after your birthday and you're going to China. Why China?
3 days after. Why China? This summer I had an opportunity to play in Las Vegas, and I played in the Global Basketball Summer League, and I was first team all GBSL there, and I averaged like 28-7 while I was out there. So I had about 8 job opportunities, you know, after that event. So we came back, and me and Rico, we went through the options, and we were just trying to find out if things were feasible or not, you know, and what opportunities seemed, you know, realistic or not, or what have you. And when we went through that, we pretty much had nothing that we could really agree on but this China opportunity. And at the time, it was kind of vague, you know, the whole thing with, you know, getting over there and having them see me, you know, physically. And, you know, it took some time, but, you know, Rico went over there about a month ago and he finalized everything. So now I'm going over there. So that's how I got, you know, this opportunity. There were some opportunities and still some opportunities in Brazil, Turkey, and Argentina. So I'm keeping my fingers crossed, man. I'll play anywhere. At the end of the day, you're getting an opportunity to go to a place that you've never been. And to, you know, have opportunity to, you know, learn another culture and embrace another culture outside of the United States. So wherever I go, you know, China is very far. It's a 22-hour flight. But wherever I go, I'm going to embrace the experience, you know, wherever I go. And I'll be appreciative.
Where do you see your chances of getting drafted? Do you got a good shot or no? You don't know.
No, my chance of getting drafted, I think I have a great chance of getting drafted if I go out there and I do what I'm supposed to do. They know everything about me. They've seen tape, they've seen footage, they know how many points I average, they know my strength, my weaknesses. Their whole thing is getting me over there outside of my comfort zone, getting me over there in Beijing. Like I said, if it was an opportunity where if I didn't get drafted, they still have me there. And they're going to use me at their disposal. They're going to get me into something. They're going to get me into some league. Like, there's, like, about 3 or 4 leagues about to start up over there. So nothing is set in stone, but the chances are very high. Like, I mean, they just want to see the 28-7 on their soil, I guess. That's how they kind of put it to Rico. So here we go. We're packing our bags, and we're going over there.
Okay. So let me ask you this. Because it sounds to me like it's not a matter of if, it's more a matter of when. And I guess Mm-hmm. My question is, are you just going, or is anybody else going with
you? Yeah, Rico, it's me and Rico. Me and Rico, we're going over there. I just found out that it's supposed to be a two other guys going. Terrence Withers from Baltimore, one of the best guards out of Baltimore, one of the best guards out of this area. He's supposed to be going over there and a tier. You know a tier.
I know bigger tier. You got drafted by the Lakers.
The guy drafted by the Lakers. He's supposed to be going over there. So us three are supposed to be going over there, but I'm not sure of their situation because that's kind of their situation. Like, I just know for a fact that me and Rico, we're leaving on the 10th. We're going over there on the 10th.
Okay. So we won't have
none of you guys. I guess Rico was kind of going to try to get those guys an opportunity as well. Like,
right.
You know, once we all go over there. But, you know, I don't think none of the three guys, if we do go over there, or if I go over there by myself, Mac, honestly, truthfully, shouldn't have an issue with getting a job, man. I mean, people have been asking me, are you nervous? I'm anxious. I mean, you know, I just know this time it's not, you know, I'm so used to going into the gym and everybody knows Boo. Everybody knows Boo score 40 points. Everybody knows Boo can do this. Everybody, you know, and whether I do or not, it doesn't matter because if I only have 2 points, I can still get in my car and just go home. You know what I'm saying? And my mom's still going to love me, and there's going to be other games, and it doesn't matter. But now I'm going across the world and having to play, you know, their games. There's 20,000 people at these games. I mean, you know, and they're so big on their basketball. And I know I'm playing for a check. And it just adds, the more things you add on it, it's just the pressure gets, you know, gets more immense, the more situations you add on to it, and the more things that become at stake. So that's the stuff that makes me nervous. I'm not nervous as far as once I get on the floor or competition-wise. I play with Kevin Durant and those guys and the NBA guys that's all from my area all the time. It doesn't get no better than Kevin Durant. It doesn't get any better than Michael Beasley. It don't get any better than Taiwan Lawson. You know, those guys. It's just like even the guys at home, the Baby Shaq, Dave Hawkins, Corey Amos. It don't get no better than that. So I'm not worried about playing. Like I don't want me not being home, me not having nobody in the stand screaming my name. You know, mama not being there, or whoever not being there. Me not letting the off court stuff affect my play on the court. That's the only thing I don't want to have.
No, you should. And as long as you have that understanding that you have now, I have no doubt you'll be fine. I don't think you have any problems at all. One of the, you know, like I said, you know, you made a lot of great choices. You finished. You've done a lot of good things. Let me ask you this. Is your mom super proud of you from watching where you come from to where you are now?
Oh, yeah. I mean, she feels like the world. I mean, it's just kind of hard. The words. I'm trying to sit here and figure out like what words I can say like to describe it, but. You know, it's like me and my mom's relationship. It's not a sister and brother relationship. My mom makes very, she always clearly draws the line between, you know, mother and son. So, you know, I don't hang out with my mom or anything like that. But it's just one of those things where it was a point in time where it was just only me and my mom. So I like to always tell people, like, I think I'm the closest person or know my mom better than anybody on this earth. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because, I mean, we spent so much time, you know, together, like tough times, you know, together.
Right.
So for her to see where I came, where I'm at now, it's not surprising to her because that's what she's built. That was the foundation. She laughs about it. That was the plan. So she's beside herself. She's always, you know, telling her, I mean, she's happy as she can be, you know. I mean, like I said, getting my degree, having the opportunity, you know, to go play pro ball. I mean, she loves it. She's smiling from ear to ear every day, you know, with every post, she's bragging to her friends and everything. But it's like, this is what she always want. This is what she knew. Like, you know, it's right. Like it's not like I was some troublesome child or kid who had, you know, just who had an excuse, who grew up, you know, impoverished and, you know, no support system and, you know, just didn't get it and, you know, had learning this problems and stuff like that. I didn't have none of those excuses. Like, I grew up with both parents in the household until my father left, you know, when I was 13. I had an opportunity to go to, you know, private school and went to Carroll High School in D.C., went to private school. I went to college and stuff like that, and things like that. So I didn't have that excuse as, you know, like the next person, like, you know, a person who was less fortunate. I didn't have that excuse. So my whole thing was just, you know, getting back on a narrow path so that I could finish, you know, obtaining my goals and some of the things that, you know, that she set out, you know, for me. So
absolutely.
Like, that's all that is, man. Mac, like, my mom's, you know, my mom, she's my everything. Like, anybody, you know, that know me knows that. So just like, I mean, I do it for myself, but also, man, I mean, just like I said, like, she's the fuel to the fire. It's just like, you know, it's just like with her, it's like her support is hard to describe. Like, my mom, she knows, like, every which way to push me, you know, or to get a response out of me. Like I remember, like just, like, growing up and stuff like that, like, my mom never had to really physically beat me, which she always did. She still tries to now. But all she could do is just, like, curse at me or yell at me or something like that, and I'd be crying and all this stuff like that, you know, mad at the world. So my mom always been able to emotionally reach me, like, you know, like nobody can. So, you know, my mom, man, she's a driving force.
So let me ask this question. Do you have a relationship with your father?
Yes, how can I say it? I don't have much of a relationship with my father, but there's no bad blood between me and my father. I see my father maybe, you know, once or twice a year, and as long as my father is alive, in good health, and things like that, then far as communicating, we do very little of. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So, you know, at this point in my life, I'm 27. It's very little things that my father that we can sit down and talk about. You know what I'm saying? That we can kind of hold a conversation without it being a forced conversation. You see what I'm saying? Like meaning that from 13 to present to 27, he hasn't been there. So we can't talk all the things that we could talk about. I've been already talked with my mom, my AAU coaches, my high school coaches, surrogate big brothers, surrogate big sisters, aunts, uncles. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, my father, we haven't had no communication from 13 to now. Like, when I see him, I give him a big hug. Hey, Dad, how you doing, son? Everything's fine. You know what I'm saying? We're cordial, but that's it. I can't explain it. It's like I don't hate my dad or anything like that. I don't hold nothing against him or anything.
Right.
It's just that we don't communicate enough.
Do you want that for you to communicate like that? And the only reason why I say that, honestly, Boo, is because I ask you, do you want a relationship with your father? Because you're right, you've had those conversations, but is it something where you can have new conversations? Or not just about sports, but just about, you know, what you're getting ready to face, what you're getting ready to go into. I mean, life is long. There's still things that your dad may know and may be able to. Have you ever asked him or said, hey, Dad, what do you think about this or what do you think about that? And I guess what I'm saying is I had kind of the same experience as you, but me and my dad are cool today, and we actually have a relationship. No, we don't talk every day or things like that, but it's more than cordial. But I realized that at a later age that I had to be the one to kind of, like, push it. I had to kind of be like, hey, you know, what about this or what about that? Even if I already knew. And you know what I found out? I found out that a lot of times my father knew something I thought he would know. And then I go, dang, I learned something. I didn't know about that. You know, I never thought about that before. You know, I never knew that. So I guess when I ask that question, I ask, is that something that eventually maybe one day you would like to have a better relationship with your, where it's not just, it's actually father and son. And I don't know if you want to do that, so that's why I was asked the question.
Yeah, I guess I'll be lying to myself if I say I don't want that with my father.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
To answer
your question, I would eventually want that relationship where it's like that. I mean, my father, like you said, I'm sure there's something he can help you with. For anybody that don't know, you know, my father fought in the 88 Olympic trials. You know what I'm saying? He was a pro boxer. He retired 8-0 and was Virginia State champion. And he lost his trainer. His trainer passed away, and some things that happened with his management and stuff like that. But I remember going to the prize fights and, you know, down Virginia Beach and watching my father fight and things like that as a professional. Like, I mean, he fought in the Olympic trials, so. I know there's things, and he trains young boxers in Temple Hills and Marlow Heights,
right,
and boxers and stuff like that now. So from a training aspect and from just, he fought in the Olympics, so he can help me with my training. You know what I'm saying? And it's one of those things where I have to, Mac, like you said, you had to reach out a little bit.
Right.
It's going to take for me to humble myself a little more. And because we're both men, I'm a little prideful, and then there's a little resentment. It's a melting pot of a lot of emotions that's keeping me from, because I'm the most social person there is. We can sit up here and talk on the phone. All the listeners and everybody can the show can end, and we can still sit up here and talk on the phone because I have so much to share. So it's just like, socially, I don't mind talking to my father, sitting down and talking to my father. I think I don't know where to start. I like to say, oh, it's not me, I don't have anything towards my dad, but I have to let the little bit of what I have, I have to let it go, because that's what's preventing me. Like today, right now, I could call my father and say, Dad, I want to meet you somewhere, and he'll be beside himself. You know what I'm saying? But whenever we converse, I keep it at, hey, Dad, how you doing? Yeah, I'm good. Yeah, I'll talk to you. I'm going to see you sometime. I keep it there. I don't never ask about his day. You know, I don't never ask how his kids, his other sons and family is doing, or Dad,
right,
can you help me? Can you work me out? So I don't do that. So I can't say, like, it's like I'm chasing him down and he's just still denying me. Like, he still won't communicate with me. It's like, I don't meet him halfway. It's like it's like a 60-40 thing. Like, you know.
I dig where you're coming from, and that's why I asked you, did you? Because, you know, I know I've been there before, you know. But the one thing I knew is that the one thing I'll say to everybody out there is that if you're a black man and you're close to your mom and that's all you know, and your father hasn't been around. You know, I learned a long time ago that, you know, my mother always told me, man, you know, my mother told me, but forgiveness is always for you, not for the other person. And I found that having a relationship with my father made me a better man and made me more free. It makes you better because, believe it or not, you know, I tell people all the time, it affects your relationship that you have down the line with a woman. It affects your relationships with other black men, other people, you know. So I tell anybody, if you got a father here and you ain't talking, you need to talk. I don't care if it's just, you know, whatever, because we all feel it inside. We always want that father figure. That's what we were made to have, a father. We were made to have a mother, you know. But, you know, I just say that to you. That's just, you know, start where you are, man. You know, it ain't no particular point. You know how blunt I am, man. It was kind of easy for me because I was like, why you do such and such and such and such? And I know he looked at me like I was crazy. You know, it's like, hey, you just cut to the chase. Like, yeah, man, I want to know why. I'm not mad. I'm just want to know why so you can tell me. I want to hear it from you. You know, but
right,
Not, so, you know, I would just, you know, I would just tell everybody out there, if you're, you know, if you're a single, you're a man out here and you got, you haven't seen your phone.
Yeah.
Mac, you there? Mac, you there? Don't tell me you just lost Mac. And I don't know if you're getting back.
Go ahead, man.
Wow.
Take over the show, man.
Well, I mean, we come to the end of the show. And unfortunately, I don't think I can get Mac back, because once we go into overtime, you can't call back and get in back into the show. So I'm going to have to close it out. Boo, all I can tell you is good luck in going over to China, and hopefully you latch on. Well, I know you will. It's just a matter of who and when you latch on to a team over in China. And if anyone wants to get in touch with you or correspond with you in social media, how do they do so?
You can follow me on I'm not so much on Twitter, but you can follow me on Twitter at BooJackson_12. That's BOOJackson_12. And you can follow me on Instagram at BooJackson12. It's all one word, Boo, BOOJackson12. And I'm on Facebook as well, just Boo Jackson. So I'm pretty good at responding, to any inboxes, or, you know, if you write on my wall or just send me a message, I'll respond. Or if you comment on a post or something like that. So that's how you can pretty much reach me.
Okay. Is there anything else that you want to say before we say goodbye to all the listeners?
Yes. Well, thank all the listeners for listening in. Thank you guys for having me on, and
it's been a pleasure.
Anytime else, you have something going on, just tell Mac to give me a call, and I greatly appreciate it.
Well, like I said before, have a good time over in China. I know that's going to be a new learning experience for you. Not too many people get the opportunity to go to China. And you're doing something that you love, playing basketball. So enjoy it. Make the most of it. And with that being said, we are out.
All right. Take it easy, bro.